Imagine attracting leads and clients without any sales pitch. Well, it's totally doable when you're podcast guesting. I have Spencer Carpenter on the show, who has booked over 150 entrepreneurs on over 1,000 shows and helped them grow their business through guesting. He shares his no-nonsense approach to getting on shows, why it's all predicated on value, what surprising results you can get from guesting, and how to use it as your number one marketing strategy. So let's get started. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey, folks, it's Lindsay with another episode of Leverage Your Podcast Show. And sometimes I talk about hosting, sometimes I talk about guesting. And today I get to talk about guesting, which is my favorite topic secretly. And I have with me Spencer Carpenter with Outlier Audio. They're a full service production company for podcasting, but you also do podcast guesting, getting people on shows as well. So you're totally on both sides of the mic. And I can't start the conversation here, Spencer, without hearing your background story, because I think it is super interesting and super cool. So let's start there.
Yeah. So my background is actually, I had a 15-year career in the music industry, and I started off booking concerts in my hometown, and I scaled that up to doing multi-day music conferences and festivals, and I ran some small record labels and stuff like that, wow. But pretty much all along the way, I was always dealing on either side of talent representation. And in 2017, when I found podcasts, I was listening to like a lot of real estate investing podcasts. And I just assumed that these people giving away all this amazing information were, you know, the level of Mark Cuban, Richard Branson. I thought they were celebrity entrepreneurs. And when I'd looked them up on Instagram, I saw that 500 Instagram followers, and that they really, for lack of a better term, they were Joe Schmo investor that was just really good at what they did. And so that was my first exposure to them. Like, okay, so this is a medium where you can hear from everyday people. And then when COVID shut down the industry, well, so March 9th, 2020, COVID actually, my boss passed away from COVID. And then aww, 3 days later, it shut down the whole industry. And so for me, it wasn't just like, when does music come back? Like it was for a lot of my peers. It was, do I even have a job? And so I decided I'd shift gears because not only were artists stuck at home, but there were a lot of professionals and entrepreneurs that were stuck at home. They couldn't go to conferences or expos or do their speaking engagements. And going back to their mostly being, you know, Joe Schmo investor, I was like, there's probably not services that are catered towards them as talent. And so I can fill in that gap. You know, if they don't have the time or the resources or the know-how to focus on getting on podcasts while they're busy trying to build their business at home, which they're not used to doing, I can fill that need. So that's kind of how I fell into it.
Yeah, I love that. I hear sometimes of people like in the radio background or speaker. And so the fact that you were like booking people at like a young age is like so cool to me. And now to be able to fall into podcasting and still do what you love. I mean, what a gift. That's so great.
Yeah. My skill set lies in supporting talented individuals. And so now I just get to support a different type of talent, you know, entrepreneurs and business professionals and thought leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what caught my attention when I met you online was how you position podcast guesting as the ability to, I guess, attract your ideal client, whatever, in a no pitch kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of touch upon that and what your philosophy is on that?
Yeah. So I'm someone that doesn't really enjoy being pitched. I'm not talking about what I do with like a pitching for podcasts. I mean, I don't like sales calls. Mm-hmm. I could sign up for a sales call and I'm always going to have my guard up. Even if it's something I want, I'm still going to have my guard up. And what I liked about podcast was I could spend 45 minutes to an hour getting to know someone before I ever reached out. I could hear their backstory, their motivations, their skill sets, their wins, their losses, whether or not I vibed with their personality. You know, yeah, you can get a sense of their, whether or not they're funny, whether or not they're dry, all of these things. And it's not in a pitching scenario. They're not on a sales call. They're in a one-on-one conversation with a host. And so that was something that really stuck out to me as being important as someone that doesn't want to feel like I'm being sold. And so, you know, especially with my, I mean, a lot of my clients come to podcasts and they're not expecting to be able to just go on and have an infomercial. But That is one thing I really, you know, nail home with them is you're there to give info. You're there to teach. And if at the end of it, the person wants to reach out to you, they can. But you're there to just, you know, kind of like, I guess the concept really resonated with me when I first learned of Gary Vee, you know, the jab, 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 right hook. That's what podcasts are. It's give away as much as you can for 25 or 35 or 45 minutes. And then at the end, I mean, it's not even the right hook that he really talks about, but it's, you know, if you want to reach out and learn more, you can. And I really like that no pressure conversation that was happening on podcast.
That is so true. And you touched upon a piece of it that I feel like some people forget about. And that's the teaching part, is that it's not about you getting authority, you getting, you know, the limelight. It's about you giving quality content to the listener.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really key piece.
Yeah. I mean, especially when I started out, I kind of had to take who I could get. And I worked with a lot of financial planners and wealth advisors who legally all do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, it's not even that specialized. What they do is a very, not everyone is this way, but some people, they literally, they're just buying S&P 500 or Apple stock or Amazon or whatever. And it's not even like, they don't even have investing. They don't even have an investing thesis other than don't lose money for my clients. And so I really like that I had to push those people to come up with what they do that's unique or interesting. Ooh. and force them to, if they didn't already have it, say like, you're not on that podcast to just say, I'm a financial planner. I can take your money and get you 4% a year, 6% a year. You have to differentiate yourself and go on there and teach them something that they can put into action. Maybe they're better off coming to you to implement, but like earn your value here, you know?
Ooh, that's a powerful statement.
So that's just ties back to all of it.
Yeah. Did you do that for in the music industry? Like, do you have to pitch, if you will, a certain way, or are there similarities? Just out of curiosity.
Some yes and no. I mean, I definitely say that one thing, I don't know if this comes through in my pitches or not, but when I got to a certain level in tour booking, mm-hmm. I would send, you know, I'd send a promoter. I'd say, you know, here's when they're available. We'd love for them to come play your venue. Here's their, I mean, at the time it was just Facebook links. Just here's the link to their Facebook, because it had everything. I didn't do a whole bio for every band. Like, how many times can you describe a band? You have to listen to them.
Absolutely.
You can't just compare them all the time. And it was wasted words. And I got to a certain point where I was like, you either don't know them or you do. And I'm hoping that you do. So here's the link. So let me know if you're interested. And I look at my talent the same way. I know that the host probably doesn't know. Well, half my clients, they probably do know, and the other half, they don't. But I go at it as we're peers. You know, I'm hoping that you will have my guests on the show, but you should want to have my guest on the show. you know, it's not trying to be egotistical or anything.
Right.
But I know who I represent have something unique to say. And I'm hoping that the host recognizes that.
So you're focused on the value that the guest brings to their show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes I'm dealing with people that have a large social following. Sometimes I'm dealing with people that are starting off, but they still have a valuable service, a valuable mission, or good things to say.
For sure. Let's talk about that value piece for a little bit. So how do you draw that out of someone new that you're working with. I think your example of like a financial advisor is totally spot on. Same with like a real estate agent or, you know, whatever, that they're just like, oh, everyone knows what I do. This is what I do. And it's just very dry and just factual, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're forcing them to dig a little deeper of like, what does make you different? What is your value? Do you go through that step with your clients?
Yeah, all the time. You know, the first time I heard someone say they were a fiduciary and they had a responsibility to act in the best interest of their client, I was like, oh, that's super impressive. And then I heard it over and over and over again. I'm like, oh, that's literally your job. You're obligated to say that. I didn't know that before. I say like the strongest pitch I had for people like that is really identifying who their client was and why they specialized in it. So I had one woman that she was first generation, I think from China, and her parents had an import export business and her dad got sick unexpectedly. The business was not set up to run without him. And so her family lost everything while her mom had to take care of him for 8 years before he passed away. And so while her job again is a financial planner, she came from what it's like to have a mom and pop business and see what happens if you're not prepared. And so her focus is really on getting businesses prepared for when they want to exit, because a lot don't realize you can't just sell your business one day. You have to prepare for it. If you've been writing off everything you've had in your business for 20 years and trying to show as little money made as possible, well, people are going to buy your business based on that net income, not based on, well, I actually made this much, but I wrote it all off. So she helps people understand that. And that is taking it so much further than the normal, you know, financial planner job description. But you also know what her motivation is. Her family suffered because of it, and she doesn't want to see other people do that. And I had another guy that, you know, he focused on people that were recently divorced or suddenly single. You know, their spouse passed away. Yeah. So he learned what they need to know. Sometimes they're then in a position where they're like, okay, we weren't expecting this. We got a life insurance payout, or we had, you know, we inherited some retirement. Do I rent or buy a house right now? And he's like, well, it really depends. I mean, maybe for the next year you should rent because you're in a fragile state and maybe you don't want to be in the house that you buy in a year. You know, he helps them figure out that situation. That's something very nuanced that not everybody can speak to. And so being able to present that showed he had more to say than just, I have a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interest of my client.
I love that you pull that out of people, because that is what people want to hear. They want to feel connected to the other person. And that's how you're going to, as a guest, get them to the next step. And people want to hear the story. You want to like humanize the person, for heck's sakes, you know, and we all want to feel connected and heard and have solutions. So I love that that is the step that you take, because I think pulling that value out is what's going to make them successful on the shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, it also shows that you're an expert at what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go to a show and say, I can speak on marketing and entrepreneurship. Like, what about it? You're on an entrepreneurship show. Everybody can speak about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way. You really have to find a way. I don't like fluff. You know, stop
you
telling me.
You seem very to the point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll read some of the bios of people that come to me that they've written themselves. I'm like, we're cutting 75% of this out because you haven't said anything. You've just written words, but you haven't actually conveyed any thought.
I love that. You see things that need to get fixed and fix it.
I try.
So I want to talk about one part of podcast guesting. I feel like everyone that guests on a podcast, they all have different goals, right? Like some have a mission that they want to spread, you know, their word of whatever impact, you know, leads, relationships. What kind of goals do you see out of your clients when you're meeting with them?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't sell this as a lead generation service because I have no control over that. And
Correct.
as anybody that has been in podcasting tells you, you don't know when exactly you're going to get something out of it, how long down the road, how much it's going to be for. And the opportunity that presents itself might not even be what you were there talking about. And I saw someone, I think Alex Sanfilippo shared like this woman talking about how she was on a show talking about her one business, but she also had specialty in something else. And so the host hired her for that other service and that turned into other contracts. And it was like one of these things where I think she brought in six figures over several years from this connection that wasn't even about what the podcast was talking about.
Crazy.
And I have another client that he's in the recovery space and he only go on shows. He was, I'd say a C-level celebrity, he still is. And he's on the show Jackass and Viva La Bam, and he was on opioids for 20 years, and now he's 9 years sober and has a recovery center and recovery homes. And we go on for content and hopefully to drive in donations. But we in our mind we're thinking about like individual donations. But he called me the other day and said, someone heard me on a podcast. One of their sons died of addiction. The other one died of suicide. And we now have a annual golf, tournament to raise funds for charities. We'd like to donate the funds this year to your cause.
Wow.
And last year they raised $50,000. So that was not something we considered. We thought maybe the people, I try to cross. I love looking for collaboration in areas that people don't see it. And so, him being a guy that was on Jackass, I like getting him on entrepreneurship shows, not on the celebrity shows, because I'm like these entrepreneurs and investors and stuff. They don't mind writing a check for 50 grand at the end of the year if they really vibe with someone. But I did not really consider someone as a listener might also have a chair, a fundraising effort that he could benefit from. And so that was just, again, one of those things where like we don't see a ton of jump in individual donations just because an episode goes live, but that one made it all worth it.
Yeah, that is true. And I remember when I started out in podcasting and being a host, and so many more benefits and opportunities came out that I never even considered. I was all about, oh, I just want to get more exposure and get leads. But it didn't actually work out that way, but it all worked out for the benefit. So I love that, like, at least podcasting, there are so many ways that you can win. And the fact that you called it out and said that podcast guesting is not necessarily your ticket to like massive lead generation. Because I have seen a lot of, some, I shouldn't say a lot of, where podcast agencies are like, oh, I'm gonna fill your e-list. And then it sets up the guest for like disappointment that they're like, I've been on five shows, but I don't have any consult calls booked, or I don't have 500 extra people in my e-list. I think that goals and expectations talk is, it's not always talked about, but I think it's really important.
Yeah, well, when I started off this business, I felt self-conscious about it because it's like it sounds like I'm just dancing around taking on the responsibility and adding value for the service I'm providing. It's really just I still really value when people trust me with their money. Like I have no idea what their situation is when they hire me. Is that all they have for marketing for the month, or is that like a just a small fraction? I have no idea, but either way, I take it seriously. And if they're going to go on podcasts, I want them to have the right expectation of what it is. But it's also showing them it's so much more than what they thought. Maybe they thought it was lead generation, but they forgot that the host can be a referral source. They forgot that the content can be repurposed for months on end. They forgot that this is better SEO than if you paid for one of those AccessWire Yahoo Finance articles, which like I did when I was brand new to this because I had nothing else for me. But now I know everything else I've done is much more valuable than that. And then filling up the Google results with like a 300 of the exact same article. A five podcast campaign is five unique YouTube videos, links on Apple, websites, that stuff. I mean, just doing a handful or, you know, say 10 podcasts, your Google results can be completely changed from what it was, which was just your LinkedIn where you wrote great things about yourself.
Yeah, I love how you call a spade a spade. It's awesome.
I mean, that, again, back to writing all that fluff, like when you start off, it's just your website, your Instagram, and your LinkedIn where you wrote great things about yourself. You know, let's have some host write some great things about you instead. That's really valuable. So, I can't remember actually how we got here.
That's the best part of a conversation, Spencer.
Yeah, true. I lose my train of thought often because I nerd out about this stuff and I think it's really valuable. And so I go down tracks.
Yeah. We were talking about the importance of goals and expectations because, yeah, you're right. Some people go into guesting thinking that it's like their ticket to, you know, a 10,000 people e-list where it's.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the things I think about going back to like the financial planner or the real estate agent is they probably do have an email list of all the people that they've had consultations with, including people that never signed up. You know, those people still get the emails. They don't unsubscribe because everyone's lazy about that. And maybe it just wasn't the right time. But let's say you do one podcast a month for a year and your email list is monthly. That person is now seeing that you've been invited onto shows every single month. The first time they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, maybe they thought that you were beginner or you just weren't up to the task yet. Now they see that you're getting invited onto these shows every single month. And they're not like the local Chicago, you know, show, whatever. I don't know. They see that it's national and that it's more than just this local community thing. I think that a lot of people could benefit, you know, especially in those things where it's hard to differentiate yourself, just utilizing it in your email list to show people that maybe didn't sign up with you that you're growing and that they should now's a good time for them to get on board. I think that's one scenario. I mean, it's very specific, but that's another one where like you're using the content, but not to post on Instagram. It's really to drive that spark with people that didn't convert already were maybe on the fence.
Great point. And it's a great way of connecting with people and showing that human side of you that you don't get out of text or an email or whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find is one of the or a few mistakes that podcast guests do?
Off the bat, not returning the favor to the host with a 5-star review or sharing the show.
Agreed.
I'm very much a win-win mindset. And you know, this is always a push and pull between artist and venue owners is you know, there's a mindset that the promoter is supposed to be the only one advertising the show and it's on them because they get the financial gain at the end. Bands think that it's their job to play the music and it's like, yeah, but you don't want to play to nobody. And if you want to play on an empty stage to nobody, you might as well stay at home and just had practice. And so whether or not you have a stance as to whose job is what, you both want to get something out of it. So you better be willing to put up the effort. Which I say effort, I mean, make a post on LinkedIn or Instagram,
right?
with just giving the person a little bit of a taste of what the show was, or it's a piece of content that you say, we dove into this on this show too, if you want to hear more about this idea. I know that if you go on 50 shows, it can be hard to make that happen, but that person gave you their platform. I don't care how big it is. They dedicated the time and the resources to putting it out there. And so you better reciprocate that at least on a basic level.
Agreed. And it's part of the relationship building and gaining those collaborations and referrals. You never know when someone's going to send you an invite or introduce you to someone. What do you recommend for podcast guests of like what to do besides obviously promote it? What to do after the interview's over? Are there any follow-up steps that you kind of go by?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a marketing expert. And I don't claim to be. I just know a little bit of enough to talk about it somewhat. But I mean, at the end of this, you're going to create content for me that I didn't have to pay for. It's free for me. It costs money for you, but why wouldn't I utilize that? You know, the content that can be repurposed into, whether it's just content or like a speaking reel. Like, there are so many people out there that want to be speakers, but they've never spoken. You could still have a speaking reel if you have a bunch of podcasts with clips that show you articulating your thoughts, maybe not on a stage. And you can get there eventually. Like, I have a client that does that for people that are new. And I know part of it is taking their, the video from their interviews to put in that speaker reel if they don't have any on stage experience yet. I mean, these, I don't know anybody in the entrepreneurship space that isn't hoping to land speaking gigs. And so making sure you go back to the host, ask them for that video and, or the audio. And again, I mean, posting it is the most basic part, but making sure you have the video yourself so that you can use it down the road if you need to. Maybe you're not ready for that speaker reel yet. Maybe you don't know, you're not hiring a full content manager for the next 6 months, but like people that focus like that, that hire marketing agencies or PR companies or whatever it might be, those people need something to market. And it can't just be your website, and it's going to be a real pain in the ass if you hire a marketing agency and then they tell you you need content. You've already got this in the bank. Maybe some of it's outdated, but there's just a lot that people like, they just kind of forget. Now, I'm also going to turn this on the host. Most hosts do not notify me when my client's interview has gone live.
That's insane to me.
Yes. And it's possible that I'm just not on the email thread anymore, but I'm even talking about people that include me on all communications, do not notify us when the interview goes live. And so the guest doesn't know to post about it. I don't know to tell them to post about it. I had to hire a VA specifically for tracking, going to the host and tracking it, because there are just so many that failed that little, task of setting
what a
up
missed opportunity for so many people.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And to take it a step further, if a host is doing that and they're not getting responses or they're not seeing the person share, set up 2 follow-up emails. I haven't, of the people that did send me that, no one has followed up and said, hey, did you guys get a chance to post about this yet? Not one.
Wow.
And I want them to. Again, I want the win-win. I want everyone to benefit from I want their show to get bigger so it's more beneficial to my client down the road.
Absolutely. Agreed. I could go on. Love it. So someone that is thinking about guesting on podcasts to use that platform to get more sales, leads, relationships, whatever, is there anything that they need to do to prepare, or like, how do you know when you're ready? Do you know what I mean?
Sure. First thing I recommend everybody do is just go make a Podmatch profile, because they're going to walk you through how to set up your, I mean, think of the Podmatch profile as like your litmus test. When it gets to the part where it asks you questions or topics, that's where you're going to be pushed to like, what do I have to say?
Totally.
What can I can contribute? And if you get to that part and you're blank, think on it a little bit. If you get paid to do anything, you have some sort of insight that other people don't have. You just have to figure out what it is. And so I think that's like the great part. Like, it's low hanging fruit that you already know those hosts are looking for guests, and it helps match those people together. But it's also great because before you can get to that point, it forces you to lay out what your value proposition is. And if you don't know what that is, think on it. Don't, you know, you can take some time if you want, or maybe you find out you have plenty to say and you weren't considering it before. But that, I mean, that Podmatch profile is essentially your onboarding call with someone like me, except you're doing the writing instead of me.
And so share with us what it's like to work with you guys. Kind of like, what is your process? What do you do? What kind of clients do you work with?
Yeah. So half my clientele is in the real estate space because I'm also a real estate investor.
But
the other half is, I'm a novice, but, the other half is kind of everyone else. And that's not to be vague. It's that there are a lot of talented people in a variety of industries and areas. So, like I mentioned, I work with Brendan Novak, who is in Jackass and Viva La Bam, but I also work with John Foley, who is the lead solo pilot of the Blue Angels. And, I think I mentioned to you before the call, I'm working with James Wilkes, who is a UFC fighter and the executive producer of the Netflix documentary, Game Changers. And so a lot of people come to me, whether they're starting out or they're more established, I have more personalized outreach. You know, while I recommend PodMatch for people getting started and as a way to do this themselves, that's not really what I use as much. Totally. I use it to find some stuff, but most of my outreach is direct to producers or the show host that I've identified as shows that are obviously a good fit for the client. And depending on the client, you know, it's mid-level shows. Other people are top 10 podcasts. It really just depends on where they're at in their career and what value they're providing, but also the lens in which they're providing it. So I hate to be vague, but it is always custom depending on the person.
And there's so many different niches out there, expertise, missions, messages. It's like, you can't necessarily pinpoint one, and everyone's got a different message, a different goal. There's so many different nuances for sure.
And obviously topics. I mean, I had some people that came to me, they were course creators. They were really good at it. They knew what they were doing, very successful. And they're like, we really want to be on Iced Coffee Hour. And I'm like, well, it's a big show. And I just don't know if they need someone to come on and talk about course creation.
Right.
They might. But I can't tell you for sure whether or not that's like an interesting that they think that their listeners are going to be interested in that. So, it's also identifying where's the right spot for where you're going to be.
Yeah. And I think it helps that you're educating them, understanding, you know, who their ideal client is, what their topic is, what their message is, and what their goals are, because it all factors in on what kind of results that you're going to get. And doesn't it start with the expectation and the goal talk?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So great having you on the show. This is a conversation and an angle when it comes to podcast guesting that, you know, I've touched a lot about like logistical things, how to pitch your letter, all those like one sheets or whatever. But I really think that this topic is of high value to those that are looking at going to podcast guesting, because this is what's going to help you get results.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how can people find you, Spencer?
Yeah. So you can go to outlieraudio.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. My Instagram is just my name, Spencer Carpenter. We also have Outlier Audio on Instagram if you want to see some of the shows we've worked with and some of our clients. We're on all the basic places.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. And I, of course, will see you over on LinkedIn again sometime soon, I'm sure. And thank you, folks, for another great week with the Leverage Your Podcast show. And I'll see you next week. Thanks so much, Spencer.
Thanks for having me.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.